Got a Schwartz one tonight. I've been spanning a few places here. You remember Keeps years ago? We spent a long time on the Gillis Russ. Long time.
Ooh.
You know, Charles came in the middle of it, no? We came in the middle of, we did McGillis Russ for a very long time. And we started with the opening verses of McGillis Russ say. Very vague terminology. We're not discussing, we're not going back to that. But he made sure Shreita Shreifen was the time of the judges. There was a famine in the land, and a man, nameless at this point, went from Beis Lechem Yehuda to sojourn in the field of Moav. And then it says a minute later, and his name was Elimelech. Elimelech, he left Israel proper during a famine, and he went to the field of Moav. The writings bring down. What is he doing? Did he do something wrong? Yes. Talmud says that because he left Israel, many different potential things he did wrong with that, even though it was during a famine, even though, as we discussed recently, Abraham did similar. Isaac might have done that. Yaakov might have done it when the famine people leave. That's something we discussed. We discussed about peace treaties with the Palestinians. But we said, right, people leave. They leave when there's a famine. Here you have a famine, and he left. And the Talmud said it was a mistake. Mistake, and he got punished because immediately after that, he dies. Literally, in the first five verses, we learn about Elimelech, his name, he leaves and he dies. And they connect them, the leaving connected to the dies. And we discussed a long time ago, what was he doing? Why was he leaving? And if he's leaving Israel, he went to Moab, was there a famine in Moab or not? If there was no famine in Moab, it's perfectly understandable. But some say, I forgot to put this on, should I? Some say that there was a famine all over the world. So if there's a famine all over the world, what are you getting by going there? So we have like this. The rabbis bring down that he saw spark of the future hiding in Moab specifically. In the fields of Moab, he knew there was a soul that he had to go and get. See, even though the land was in a famine, it wasn't only because of a famine. It was a concept that he had to go and search for something. The spark that's found in the city of Moab, the fields of Moab. And he found it, by the way. Her name was Rus. Rus HaMoabi. Rus who came from Moab. And therefore, he went and found her. He brought her back. And that created what? The dynasty of Mashiach. Because in the story, Boaz marries Ruth. A few generations later, we have David HaMelech. David begins the Messianic dynasty. So at the end of the story of Ruth, the end of it, really the last few words of Ruth, is the history of what happened here. And it says at the end on page 1273, it goes to Boaz, just a little, the last two verses. And it says, Salmon hoiled as Boaz. Salmon gave birth to Boaz. That's number one. If you want to count them as one or not, it's up to you. Boaz gave birth to someone called Ovid. So, you know, let's count Boaz just so easy. Boaz number one, Ovid number two. Ovid gave birth to Yishai. Yishai is number three, 1273. Yishai held it as double. And Rus was married to Boaz. So Rus was great grandmother of David HaMelech. And not only that, it says that when David, when Shlomo HaMelech, that's the next generation, David's son, was ascending the throne, when ascending the throne, Rus was there. Rus was there. Rus lived a very long life. Yes, and probably when Shlomo was the king. It says Imaj, there was a seat for Imaj HaMalchus, the mother of the Malchus doesn't mean the king, kingship. She was there. And she lived a very long time, and she was there to witness it, that for all she went through with trials and tribulations, the Messianic dynasty began through her. But the reason, point with the Elimelech goes there, is because Elimelech is going to Moab specifically to find that hidden soul, and he found it. Literally like a sci-fi movie. More than that, we discussed, going back many, many, many years, names mean something seriously. Names mean something seriously. Eliezer, for an example, random name I'm choosing would mean, Ezer means to help. Eli could either mean to God or other things. There's a point of helping. There are other names people choose. Akiva chose for specific reasons. There are names mean everything. The Gemara dashes the names. At the end of Davening, we discussed, it's supposed to say a pasuk that relates to the name. We discussed it a while ago. Elimelech. Elimelech. What does Elimelech mean? Elimelech could be said, currently counted, a lie to me. Melech is the Malchus. Now, at this point in time, there was no kings. It was the time of the judges. And historically speaking, Moshe Yeshua then went to judges, no kings yet in Klal Yisrael. The kings only came later on, with Shaul HaMelech being the first king. So that's later on that we're going on now. But Elimelech means he was, could have been the king. There were no kings. But he was worthy of such a job title. Add on a little bit. That he realized there was no kings yet, there was no kingdom yet. Maybe that's why he went to search for the mother of the kingdom. And he realized, wait a second, there is no kingdom. Why is there no kingdom yet? Multiple reasons. It could be one of the reasons was, I'll tell you why. Because that spark that we need from Moab hasn't yet shown up yet. So because of that, let me go find it. Let me start this game. So even though, again, on the surface, on the surface. What Elimelech did was negative, but the Talmud brings on tremendous positive things on what he did. More so, we said a minute ago, it says, Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda. Opening words. It was the days of the judges. There was a famine, and a man went from beis lechem. 1269. Trick question on 1269. A man went from beis lechem. How many times do you think in this? There's not even everything in the five books. Not the five books. Spanned out. How many times do you think the phrase in the 24 books a man went appears? I mean, sounds like a pretty innocuous statement. If you had a guess, you would say, who knows how many times you guess. The rabbis tell us that only twice. That means there's got to be a connection there. It's got to be. What would be the other time when it says a man went?
Yes. Moshe's father.
Yeah, is it close?
Avram.
Amram.
Amram.
Amram. When Amram went, it says the same thing.
Yeah.
It early on, it talks about the beginning of Pasha Shemois, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. By the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, not me, the regular Baal Turim does this, the code breakers. Baal Turim says, guess what happened? And a man went and he got married. Chapter 2, page 297. First words. Vayelech ish. And a man went, he based Levi. And what happened when a man went from base Levi? The birth of Moshe. The birth of the exiler. Word? Exiler. I don't know what the word is.
Redeemer.
Redeemer of the Egyptian exile. The Redeemer is born. Vayelech ish. You know what comes out of Vayelech ish? The Redeemer comes out of it. Back to Rus. But it says Vayelech Elimelech. Vayelech ish. Doesn't Elimelech. Vayelech ish. Says in the verse 2. Vayelech ish. A person went. Guess what he's creating? He's creating the Messianic David seed that should reveal itself soon and redeem us as well. So in the opening words of the story of Rus, we right away learn the fact that that was what was going on here. More so. More so. Unbelievable statement. Here goes a statement by David HaMelech, Yevamos 77a, talking about when David HaMelech became king and there was a lot of negativity. People didn't hold David HaMelech to be the king. They had problems with his genealogy. They were against him. They had to recount the votes. They had all types of opposition to him. They put him on trial. They put him on trial. He never hears from them. Put him on trial. Was he worthy of being the king? Because he had genealogy and that was no good. What was the genealogy that was no good? He was related to Rus.
Great-great-great-grandmother's Moab.
And there's a question, part of the question is, do we accept the converts of Moab into kingship? And we don't accept it would have been male genealogy. Happens to be it was a female, so it was different. But the Torah says, Moab and Moab, they're out. So people came up, they said, you want to know if David HaMelech is worthy of being the king? He might not even be worthy of a regular Jew. And a fight began.
It's almost like the same story when Shimon Ben Zimri told Moshe Rabbeinu, look who's telling us what to do.
Yes.
He married someone from a...
That he married. Not himself, but yes, he married. Yes. I'll have to go into that maybe from my partial Pinchas, which Charles has been able to get back to. But maybe this year. Here it goes a fascinating term. Here it says a pasuk. David Melech says, Ania Marti, who's he quoting it from? So I can find it in English. Darish Rava. Rav made the following exposition. What is meant by the scriptural text? Pasuk in where is it? In Tehillim, in 5. In Hebrew it says, Ani Amarti, I say, Ata Basi, now I come. L'yidati shel b'megil sefer kasav alai. So the pasuk that's, Az Amarti hine basi b'megil sefer. In English it means, then said I, David Melech in Tehillim, lo, I am come with the roll of a book which is prescribed to me. Which means he was saying, David said, I have come now start the fight. It's not true. It's been existing for many, many years. It was already written about me. David noticed when he became king. Written about it, they that are found. 10 is a pasuk in Genesis 19:15. In the story of Sodom, 19:15, what happens is the angels show up and they tell Lot, listen, buddy, we got to get out of here. The clock is ticking literally because there's a bomb about to go off and you got to get out of here. And he says, okay, who do you got here? Who do you got here? What did I say, 19 what? 1915.
So we're back up. The Gemara references something in 1915.
Or yes.
King David says something in the Gemara.
King David quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. And we're going to see the Gemara says that King David said, that pasuk can tell me about me. I want to tell you what it means, what it really means. I thought I'm showing up now, but I found the scriptural source of my existence. Like all of us have found some of the Torah. And here it says, Lehi was a perplexing hero. I don't even know what that means. And they're going through it. They sent them stamp. You got to get out of here. It's time to go. So Lehi went and spoke to his son-in-laws. Here they tell him in verse 12. Whom else do you have here? A son-in-law, your sons, daughters, all that you have, get out of this place. 13. For we're about to destroy this place. For the outcry has become great before Hashem. And he sent us to destroy it. So Lehi went and spoke to his son-in-laws. He had other children. And the people engaged to his daughters. They said, he said to them, get up, we got to go. But they seemed in jester. They said, yeah, the world's coming to an end tomorrow. I've seen that movie already. Not interested. And then dawn breaks. And it's getting later. And he's trying to convince them. And then angels tell him, get up. Take your wife and your two daughters who are present, lest you be swept away. Take your wife and two daughters who are present. Don't lie to anyone. In Hebrew, 15, crucial word here. Vayitzu, they pushed. Hamalach b'loit lemer, kum kachis ischa v'shtei b'nesecha, hanim tzois, that are found here. It's a funny word, hanim tzois. So David Melch finishes the statement. He said, I want to tell you what it means. Here it says, a pasuk in 11, another pasuk in Psalms that says, we say to David davening, matzasi David avdi. I found my slave David. So the word matzasi is written about David, and the word matzasi is written over here, hanim tzois, which means that David's soul was found where? All the way back, 20 generations earlier. I can't not make the calculation, but a lot, in Sodom. Your soul is in Sodom. And Sodom has an extra word saying, you're found here.
Is that a good thing or bad thing? That's a bad thing.
Oh, next question in a second. How do we know now? How did David's soul, what's he doing in Sodom? Very simple. Very simple calculations. Lloyd escapes with the two daughters that I hear. The two daughters have relations with their father. And they create Amon and Moab, and David's a descendant of Moab, which means that gene pool was there when they tell him, listen, buddy, we don't need your son-in-laws. We don't need those engaged daughters. What we need now is these people here. That's the only reason you're getting out, Lloyd. Lloyd, you're not good enough. In reality, the whole city should be destroyed. You in it. You know why you're not in it? I'll tell you why you're not in it. Because you got something in your DNA that we got to pull it out of. You got to scrap. We got to extract that DNA from you. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you and your daughters are holding that secret spark. We got to get that. So you get a chance to get out of jail. Get out now.
That's a trade spark.
Yes. Terrible. We'll discuss that in a second. I don't know if we'll discuss that in a second. Some will maybe hopefully.
No, you transformed those people.
So what happened was, incest, he's saying it was incest, therefore it might not be possible. But David HaMelech came out of that relationship. Because he created they had relationship with the daughters. First one named the kid Moab. That's what Moab means. From my father. Later on comes Rus, comes David. The David Messianic dynasty is found within the story of Sodom. And in fact, we not doing it now, we did it then. When you go through the story of Rus, there's a lot of talk, hints, words that are drawing back to the story of Sodom. Because that's where he was. David's pre-DNA was found in that story. Question.
Why isn't the excitement of David not found in his father's side through Boaz? Just like when we learn about Moshe's kids, we don't care about the woman, the Midianite woman he married. We care about Moshe's line. So we don't care about the convert that he married.
Excellent.
So why from King David do you care about
the convert that excellent grandpa married? Excellent. Here goes the question. Here goes the question asked by the seraph, the fire of Kotzk, or Charles Dunn. The question is this. What is going on here? We need kingdom. We couldn't have a better way come up with this idea. God had to have this literal ancestral relations to come up with this. The Kotzka has a question. I don't know what's going on here. More so, because I'm so fast. Because I'm so fast, an unbelievable question. It says that when Hashem met Yaakov, after Yaakov fought the angel in Parshas Vayeshev, we're really spanning the globe tonight. What it says is this. Look at this pasuk. I should have wrote it all down beforehand. The pasuk says that he meets him right after Dinah's. Here it says in 35. We're on page 186. Let me just make sure I got the right place here. Nope, 189. And Hashem appeared to Yaakov again when he came to Paddan Aram. And Hashem blessed Yaakov. And God said to him, your name is Yaakov, which has to do with the fight. Your name shall not always be called Yaakov, but Israel shall be your name. And he called him Israel. Skipping over a little bit, get to the point. And Hashem said to him, I am you, I am, Hashem's name, be fruitful and multiply, a nation of kings shall come from you, and kings shall be issued from you. So some say it means, potentially, without a special blessing, there will be no kings from Yaakov. God said, I bless you. Don't we have kings all over the world? In this week's parasha, in Vayishlah, we're discussing, right after that, it's going to give you a list of the chronicles of Esau, all the kings of Esau. So wait a second. Did they get a special blessing? No one in the Torah said a special blessing. Why did the Jews need a blessing? That's the Chassam Sofer's kasha. The Kotzker's kasha, a.k.a. Charles Bender, was, what are we focusing on that negative yichus for? Let's focus on the positive. What do we even need the negative yichus for? So the Kotzker says, in short, and his grandson, the Kotzker Rebbe, when we spoke about this class, had a daughter who married Avni Nezer. The beginning of the Sakhachov dynasty. Unbelievable. Sakhachov. The Abdinezer. That was real Torah Hasidus. The Abdinezer had a son who took over. It's called the Shemi Shmuel. Up there. Shemi Shmuel is huge. It's a go-to.
It's a go-to. Talmud. Every Talmud talks about the Shemi Shmuel.
Could be. It's a go-to on Yom Tov Mahal. Shemi Shmuel took his grandfather's words, his cryptic words I'm about to tell you, expanded on it, and Shavuos. We're going to discuss it now. The Sraf from Kotzker. Kotzker said, there's no such thing within the Jewish DNA to have a king. It doesn't exist. Therefore, he answers the Chassam Sofer, you need a special blessing to get kings. Or you need converted blood. What he explains to Shemesh Mul is, in order to have a king, one of the qualities of a king is, I lord and rule over you. Jewish DNA, that doesn't exist. There's no such thing.
God's
the can't have it. There's no such thing as that I lord over someone else. No, that can't happen. So what Hashem did was, he said, listen, I got to import. I got to mix the bloods. I got to get some negative blood in there, purify it to create this. So I have to find a nation that has no issue of me being above you. That's all good. I got to get that blood in there, convert it, literally convert it. And conversion and make that blood purified. And God said, I'm going to go to the nations and I'm going to mow you, but I'm going to get that blood. So we needed that blood. And David has to be proud of that blood. Because without that David, you can't be a king. Who was the king before David? David was the first king.
He spoke sense.
Shaul. And Shaul lost the kingship.
Benjamin tribe.
To the tribe of David. But he lost. Why did Shaul lose it? So Gemara, Yuma 22b, says, among the reasons, the Gemara discussed all that, was that Shmuel, the prophet who anointed Shaul and secretly anointed David, but Shmuel told Shaul, the king, listen, it's time to wipe out Amalek and bring in the redemption. And Shaul, again, Yuma 22b, go through it, didn't do it the way he was supposed to do it. He did something, he delayed killing the king, he brought sacrifices, something he did was not necessarily the right move to do. And Shmuel comes to him and tells him, buddy, you lost the kingship. You made a mistake. I lose the kingship. We discussed in this class, I don't remember when, that David also made mistakes. His mistakes weren't against the kingship. Shaul's mistake was against the kingship. What? What did he do? It was so wrong. So we don't have the psukim in front of us. When you read Shmuel out, what Shaul said was, listen, Shmuel, I was trying to delay. I was waiting for you. People got antsy. The crowd wanted it. Got to do it. That's what the votes wanted. People pleaser. I used a phrase on Shaul Melech, who was unbelievable. And I did what the crowd wanted. Shmuel said, you know what? That's against the monarchy. You're out. Because your sin, your crime was against the monarchy. Why? Because the concept of a king is to lord over, to rule over, at times with a strong arm fist. You gave in to the crowd, you're out. Because that's a crime against the monarchy. David had mistakes. Maybe he killed someone in battle. He arranged it. Maybe someone's wife. We're not going to all the details. There are times David did sins. Chat b'shtayim, it says. It says, actually, that Shmuel made one mistake. Unbelievable phrase. Shaul. Oh. Here, it's an unbelievable phrase in the Gemara. Which goes to what we're saying. Shaul. Get the phrase. The Gemara identifies the sin. Shaul erred one time.
what is it? And he lost it. David sinned twice and didn't lose it. The obvious question, well, that's not fair. It's not fair. Why should it be that way? Why should one guy lose one and lose the monarchy? Why not? So the answer is going to be that the crime against the monarchy is that's it. As we said in American phrase, just happened yesterday on the news. If you want to raise dogs, you could become a quarterback in the NFL. You want to go into a bar in Baltimore and shoot someone, you will go out as a Super Bowl champion and be voted in to the Hall of Fame, if you know what I'm talking about. We don't know some of the names of these people. But, as proven yesterday, if you're on an injured IR list, you're injured, you can't play, and you bet on your team, you're out. Why? Because that's against the sport. That means when you kill someone in a bar and you raise dogs, what goes on in the field
Michael
stays in the
Vicks
field.
Isn't he
Michael Vick
into the Hall of Fame.
No, the other one, Ray Lewis. But Michael Vick made it back to the sport afterward.
Great player.
Yes, pre and post dog fighting. Why? And now he's a reformed pro dog guy. My brother's a big animal person, loves him. So the point is, because that wasn't a sin against the sport. Nobody cares what you're doing on the side. But Pete Rose and this guy yesterday, I don't know, San Diego Padres.
I don't know who the guy is.
Yeah. They're betting against the sport. That means baseball now became wrestling. You're out. The guy in the Giants shot himself in the foot, the wide receiver, I forgot his name. Plaxico Burress, I think his name was. But that's fine. Shaul, your crime. You listen to the people, you're out.
I mean, about sacrificing all the animals that he was supposed to kill them and not
look up a Shmuel Aleph. You want to look it up? I think it's the 15th chapter.
Supposed to kill
and he goes, and he says, and he defended himself, Shmuel. He said, "What do you to Shmuel?" He said, "Listen, the crowd wanted it. The crowd wanted it. That's it. You lose the monarchy because what we need is a certain, not just this wrong word, whatever the word is, koiches of me against you. I rule over you." So God said, "I don't want to do that naturally by the Jews. I'm going to import that thing in here. I'm going to bring it in."
So what about the other kings after the United?
It's all in their blood. The Jewish blood now has converted Moabit blood, because they all come from David. They all have Binyamin didn't have that blood. Shaul didn't have that blood. Shaul came from Binyamin. They don't come from Moab. He didn't have that blood. So what he did was, again, crude phrases. Shaul, according to the Gemara, you read the Gemara, Shaul was bigger than David. I can't talk it. So, but I can't talk that either. But the Gemara seems to say, but Shaul didn't have that koiches. He didn't have that koiches, and therefore they told him, you're out of the game.
Except the Maccabees had the koiches. They destroyed the.
We're not talking about the curses of physical strength and guts and glory. We're talking about the ability to rule over the people.
Leading.
Leadership qualities. Shmuel saying, I don't care what you guys think. Shaul saying, I don't care what you guys think. Shmuel said, sacrifice. We're going to wait. You need strength. So the point is, we have to recognize what they were doing there. Not as simple a story. Elimelech, kingship, was looking in Moab to find that specific blood of the nation of Moab, which could bring into that characteristic to begin the Messianic dynasty. There are many ways to end this class.
So part of arrogance is part of their characteristic, by the way.
Meaning I lord over someone else. More. Arrogance means I lord over someone else. You need that. I would say, two potential lessons, each one on its own worthy of a half hour, that going into a Shavuos, to a holiday of discussing the story of Rus with current events going on, I think we have to realize two things. One is to be with each other, excellent, and not lord over in a negative way. We're not the kings. Not lord over people and treat them badly, but be strong, be arrogant when it comes to recognizing that we are Jews. And we have it in us. We have kingship within all of us, and be proud of that. Have a good Yom Tov. Because obviously next week is no class.